Hi and welcome. Today I'll be talking with two fascinating men who represent the changing nature of fatherhood over 40. They are also two brave men who are very dear to my heart. Len Philpoo, 64, is a writer-screenwriter who's worked as a communications executive in Silicon Valley, served as a press secretary to Jimmy Carter and on Capitol Hill, and helped produce a low-budget horror movie. Len's world changed for the better when he became a dad at midlife. He now eats better and works out more to stay in shape, left the Silicon Valley rat race to become a consultant and writer who could spend more quality time with his kids, and has become more active in city and school volunteer activities. He says, "I may not be around when my kids are 35, but they'll sure as diapers stink know I was around when they were 3 and 5. He is the author of Primetime Dads, 45 Reasons to Embrace Midlife Fatherhood. Len and his wife have a 15-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. Nicholas D'Ambra is 48 years old. Originally from New England, he moved to California in his early 20s in search of a career in Hollywood. Like many, he waited tables more than he acted, until he found himself running a successful coffee house, which he later sold. He is now self-employed, running a cocoa business for the last 20 years and managing rental properties he owns with his husband of almost 15 years. He is a contributing writer for MotheringInTheMiddle.com and the proud father of a 6-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter born via surrogacy. He was recently featured on CBS News. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Pleasure to have both of you. All right, so Len, just tell me a little bit about your journey leading up to your midlife fatherhood.
Well, I had been all across the map. I had had a career in politics and helped make movies and worked in news and high technology, and so did a number of things. And I had been married before, and we did not have children. And so when we were confronted with the possibility of, with my current wife, when we saw that we were pregnant and were figuring out exactly what to do, I was 49 at the time. She's 12 years younger than I am. We just decided, let's go for it. Let's do this thing. And despite the trepidation, despite the fears that I had, and there were many, I was dreading the future, it's turned out to be the absolute best thing that I've ever done in my life.
And Nicholas?
I concur with that last part there, Len. I'd always wanted a family. I'd come out here to L.A. by myself for years as a gay man. I thought about having children. I always wanted to have children, but I never really saw it as a possibility. And later, when I met my now husband, Jim, it became more of a reality. And being able to get married and those things and being more accepted in society, I think, made it a lot easier. So as we got older and we cared less about what people thought and what we were supposed to do, I think, you know, wanting a family became more important than anything else. And so when we decided to do it, we went through the process of surrogacy, and for us it was the right decision, and my life has been the best I've ever had. I mean, I couldn't imagine my life without my children. They're just everything to me.
And also, continuing on this, how did you feel about your non-traditional route to parenthood then as opposed to now? Meaning then when you were even thinking about having children and now that you have it, do your feelings about the way in which you pursued this and anything else about your journey has changed? I mean, you say it's good.
For me?
Yes.
Yes. I think the journey we took was right for us. It was, you know, it was part circumstance and it was part just the reality of wanting children without having to wait through a process. We thought about adoption. In fact, early on when we had met, we talked about adopting children. The older we got, I think surrogacy became more attractive to us because we had heard some stories about adoption that didn't actually end well, and I didn't think that I could deal with that loss of having a child and bonding with a child, and then for some reason the parent coming back and wanting that child. So I think for us, at that time in our life, it was the right decision. If I were younger, when we had started the process, it probably would have been different.
And Len, you also speak about that circumstance, and in your case, it just happened. And you also spoke about your fear and how happy you are now. But you were probably taking on a pretty big bite given that your previous 25, 30 years had been nearly single, does your perception of the whole midlife fatherhood route feel different from this vantage point as opposed to when you started?
When I was faced with first-time fatherhood at the age of 49, I really didn't know whether to celebrate with champagne or jump off a cliff. But because I had done so much living in the single world, I had gotten my yayas out. I had scuba'd in Aruba, done Las Vegas, and dated women, and I just got a lot of my youthful frolicking out of my system. Fatherhood seemed like the final frontier for me. This was something I've always admired. I've seen from afar. I was an uncle, an active uncle. I had dated women who had children. I had seen that the time constraints, the efforts that parents put in parenting were monumental. And I just thought, oh my gosh, from doing the laundry and getting meals out and all of the household activities and wiping butts and everything. I mean, how does anyone have any time for that? So that I was definitely worried about. What I found and what my book is about, it was that I had just tremendous reserves, skill, capabilities, attributes as an older, more mature guy farther down the career path with maybe a little bit more money in the bank, a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more patience and maturity. All those things conspired to make fatherhood great for me, and because I could focus better on the kids, it's good for them as well. So it turns into a win-win situation.
I think when this airs, you will have found some converts. So just keep talking. Just keep talking. And Nicholas, same sort of question, but kind of what is your biggest surprise now that you've become this dad? And also, what are some of the attributes that you feel you're bringing to the table in midlife?
Well, I definitely agree that, as you get older, you have more, life experience. Definitely a lot of the partying, so to speak, and traveling and all of that sort of stuff, we had done, and we had done it together as a couple. So this was the next step for us that we really embraced. And we both as well were uncles to nieces and nephews, and we, at parties, we would play with them more than we would talk to the adults. For us, that was where our joy came from. So looking back and seeing everything that had to be done, it was daunting. But, we didn't know any better at the time, so the diaper thing, everything seemed reasonable as it came. And I always say, it's the hell when it comes to, if you have twins, if you have triplets, it's when you have a baby, you follow that direction. They lead you, mm-hmm. and then they become these little people, and suddenly you're living in their world. And it's a monumentous, life-changing event. And looking back on it, I didn't know I would be good at it. I worried about it. With our second child, I don't worry about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think the second child, you start to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that child relax as well.
Sure. So what's your biggest fear about midlife fatherhood?
Lynn? My biggest fear is, not being around later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, I start to look at, well, what about when my son is older and he has children? Will I be there to see his children? And I lost my dad 3 years ago, and so that was definitely a point in my life where things changed for me in looking at life and feeling mortality, more so than, before that. Before that, I was going to live forever. It didn't matter. But once my father passed away, it changed everything,
mm-hmm.
and that is probably the one thing that weighs on me most of all.
Mm-hmm. Lynn?
Well, I agree. I mean, it's the idea that I might die too early for my children to be able to deal with it in a good way. But then when I really think about it, I think that the death of a parent impacts children no matter what their age. It's always a deep blow. Here's the other thing. Because I know I may not be around when they're in their 50s, I really made a conscious effort to be sure to be around when they were young. I was farther along in my career so that I was able to adjust my schedule, become a consultant, go back to my dreams of doing some writing, and just be around so that the kids knew me. I wanted to make sure that they knew me when they were young and growing up, which they have. Now, a lot of times, young men are out in the workforce, trying to establish their career, getting their house, working on the relationship with their spouse, and because there are so many other very dramatic demands on their time, they may not be able to spend the quality time with their children when they're younger. I had the luxury of being able to do that. So it's a trade-off, but yes, I agree with Nicholas. It's if I go too soon. That also prods me on the positive side. That prods me to eat better, to cut out my sugar, to get to the gym. I'm going to yoga after this interview. And so I'm much more conscious about my health and what I'm trying to do, and so that I do stick around as long as possible.
So how do you think your children feel about you? When they, I would guess that in social situations, especially playgrounds or schools, after school activities, do either of you have children who have that awareness that you aren't in the same demographic as some of the other fathers?
Yeah, I think that there's a slight awareness, but I think the children are actually A-okay with it. I've taken them to book readings, and so they know my story, and they see the seriousness with which I deal with it. And I think they're secretly impressed with it, although they will needle me and give me a hard time. The other fortunate thing is I just seem to get along with the younger parents. Most of them are 10 to 20 years younger than I. And I was hung up about that when I first started. I thought, oh, how am I going to relate to these people? But really, what we talk about are fatherhood issues and parenting issues. I mean, we're all parents. We're all in the same boat. We're trying to do the best thing we can for our children, whether it's teachers, schools, volunteer efforts, whatever it is. And we connect on that level. And age is just simply not a barrier when it comes to all that.
Nicholas?
Yeah, I agree. When we started preschool, I remember thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to be the oldest dad here. You know, and are people going to look at me like, oh, there's Grandpa, you know, and he took his grandson to school. But surprisingly, there were more people my age than younger. They were in their 40s, and so it was immediately comfortable. And like Len said, we're all kind of in the same boat. And these were all new parents, so even more so that, you know, all of our kids had, you know, were 2 and 3 years old. So we all had the same issues, problems. And so once you start relating on those issues, then you find other, you know, common ground that you have. And it's been a wonderful experience. And even going to my son's, you know, secondary school now, it's the same thing. The parents are around my age. There are definitely some that are a lot younger. And I'm always surprised. I'm like, wow, you had kids at this age. But I find more here the norm is that there are older parents.
So that's a good segue to some stats, and I know that both of you came to the table with some. Len, what are your stats for the ageism of fatherhood?
Right. Well, being an older dad, in fact, being an older mom, is an upward trending phenomenon. This is from Time magazine, and Time wrote, quote, from 1980 to 2009, that's 1980 to 2009, new dad rates in the U.S. rose 47% in the 35 to 39 age group.
That's amazing.
And they grew a whopping 61% in the 40 to 44 age group.
Wow.
And they even rose 18% among men 50 to 54. So it really is a uptrending topic. And as there are second families and blended families and greater prevalence of women in the workforce and better health care and all these things kind of conspire to push up, I think, the age of parenting, both for mothers and fathers.
I read an interesting article recently which was talking about why would a man who is older want to have children? And it was referencing the fact that that maternal or paternal or urge just to have a family doesn't end, especially for men, at a certain age. And therefore, they can call on that learned experience, maybe,
right,
in having a second or third family. Nicholas, what kind of stats did you bring to the table?
Well, you know, from my perspective as a gay dad, you know, I've looked at a lot of interesting articles about parenting, and with the more acceptance in society, I found that, you know, I read an article in 1999, they said only 38% of those polled favored gay adoption and 57 opposed it. And then in 2012, that same poll was done, and 52% favored gay adoption while 42% were opposed. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that within my culture, there's definitely a lot more push towards having families now. Mm-hmm. And these are older men and women who maybe didn't see it as an option before. And so now they're looking at it like, wow, oh, I can have a family too.
Does that help you? I mean, I know both of you live in Metropolis, and both
right.
of you live on the West Coast, and both of those reasons alone would afford you more compatriots in this genre. But
yeah.
I'm wondering if, Nicholas, you sort of feel like you're blending in just fine, given that there are so many other gay fathers in your region.
There are. I was surprised when we went, you know, at preschool, there were a couple of same-sex families. Couples that had children, and they were throughout the school. When my son entered kindergarten last year, there were two dad families in our class alone.
Yep.
And within the school itself, I've met at least six other families. So it definitely, the landscape has changed. It's nice to feel like my son won't think he's different all the time,
mm-hmm.
and he'll definitely feel more of, oh, this is just how it is. And then other children will also feel that. And I think it'll be more, I don't want to say accepted, but it won't be any different than anyone else. It's just different families, blended families, and that's okay. That's a great thing.
Other than the comments like, are you the grandfather, and the kind mm-hmm. of stereotypical comments I'm sure one of, not both of you, have somewhat gotten, do you find that any younger dads look up to you?
You know, the grandfather thing, that was one of my biggest fears. And I do want to try to frame it by saying that vanity is a form of insanity. I was so scared when I was first embarking on this midlife dad, this primetime dad journey, that I would be mistaken for grandpa, that I had visions of, you know, on the Little League bleachers, drooling like like Grandpa Simpson, you know, and stuff like that, mumbling about Woodstock to people who don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It really affected me. Then I've only been mistaken for grandfather two different times in, what is this? This is like 15 years of doing this. But I realized that I was being the ageist. I was the one discriminating against myself. I wasn't giving my full blossoming spirit a chance to thrive and live and talk about being an older dad. There's a lot of us on the way. I agree with Nicholas. I think that because we're on the West Coast, there's probably, you know, a slightly different demographic, which makes it easier. I see there are older dads all around me. But I was hurting myself. I was discriminating against myself. I was the ageist, not the other people.
That's interesting.
It's funny because when we were on the East Coast, my husband, I would want to say this was about 3 years ago, he's actually 6 months younger than I am, was mistaken on three separate occasions on one visit for being the grandfather. And once was at urgent care. We were both sitting there, and the lady behind the desk asked my son, isn't it nice you have your dad and your grandpa here? I mean, that was like, wow. I don't know that you can get any worse than that at that very moment. But
actually, I think that's good for you when you're in the heat of battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's interesting because, you know, I also find that, like, being out with my son or my daughter or both at the same time, I get, oh, mommy's day off today, and it's like, oh, no, it's not. They're just questions, and people are going to assume things and say things, and I think that's just part of everyday life. I think everyone gets it in some degree or form in the other.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question about parents looking up or looking to me for advice, I think occasionally it does, just because they do see me as older and probably more settled, more organized, you know, and so there have been times when it's like, well, how do you do all that? Or, you know, how do you get this done? And like Len, I have more free time, so to speak, because our schedules are such that we work free for ourselves, that our time is opened up. So we can do that. We can be at every game. We can be at every performance. We can be at every school event and be a participant in it as well. So I think that definitely has given, you know, other parents something to look up to or to aspire toward. But it's only the benefit of being an older parent where, you know, you're at a point in your life when you do have that time.
I did reference about people looking up to you. I'm wondering if either of you have been asked the question, should I wait myself for fatherhood? Have either of you been addressed?
I haven't been asked that. However, I did have a younger dad who's a very successful dad, a good father, has two children. He was confiding with me once on a camping trip. We had this group camping trip, and he said, you know, I think maybe I'm too young for fatherhood.
Oh.
I was so surprised.
That's funny. No, I've never had that. I do think that, you know, people see it and they think, oh, wow, you make it look so easy. And I'm like, I feel like I'm failing at every turn. So
sure.
It's just funny because I look at other parents and I think, oh, wow, how did they do that? And so I think it's all just, we're all kind of on the same level, looking at each other, watching each other, and hopefully not judging each other.
Sure.
But.
So I guess this is a kind of a loaded question because I'm on the East Coast and our perception of things is so vastly different than what I'm sure both of you live, see, and experience. But again, to the same question about people around you, from our vantage point, midlife fatherhood or midlife parenthood is really only portrayed through high-profile rock stars and in the media. And I'm wondering if that vantage point changes things for you and if you feel that you're bombarded with the same images we are, since so many other people are doing it around you, that kind of press is toned down.
I feel it's toned down. I mean, especially here. I think more so on the East Coast maybe, or in other areas, but in the metropolis city that we live in here, definitely I don't find it as much.
And that would be LA, correct?
Correct.
Yep. Len?
Well, I'm in Northern California, Silicon Valley area, but California. It's one of the reasons that I really appreciate what you do, Sima, because you are trying to give a media portrayal of real-life midlife parenting, both motherhood and fatherhood. And it isn't dripping with the gold chains and wealth that the typical media stories are about the rock stars and whatnot having babies. I mean, if you had that kind of money, what sort of problems would you ever run into having children later? Because you could just pay, you know, squadrons of people to take out the diapers or whatever. So it's just not realistic. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And I just don't get a sense, though, that people are equating my humble lifestyle with, you know, what Rod Stewart is able to do or Billy Joel.
Sure.
I think that they really do know the difference between media hype and rock star status and what's really going on in the real world. It's just an increasing trend. More and more people are doing it. There's more of us around. And in my case, I think it's been eye-opening and excellent for me as a human being. The growth, the personal growth, the personal journey of my life is enriched immeasurably, but it's also coincidentally excellent for the kids. The fact that dad can be around and spend more time with them and understands the preciousness of their life and is devoted to enhancing the quality of their life because I am more mature, because I can spend more time, because I've seen death and I know that we don't last forever. All of these things help to make the experience win-win for all.
So with that in mind, Len, would you encourage somebody to go your route, or do you still feel
I think I'm less of a proponent. I think as the years go on, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and it's been the best possible thing for me. We read about more and more evidence that there can be some health issues associated not just with older motherhood but with older fatherhood. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in so much an advocate of wait until you're middle-aged before you become a father, but I am an advocate that if the opportunity presents itself to you and you are in midlife and it's something that you really want to do, then you might pay attention to the many attributes and positive sides of being an older dad that I've experienced and others have, that it's not the end of the world. It may just be the beginning of a new phase of your life. That's kind of where I am nowadays.
That was so well said. I almost have nothing left to say.
Yes.
Nicholas, same question for you, please.
Well, I'm so happy to follow up.
Sure.
would I tell someone to have children? I think it depends on the circumstances. I think everyone's story is different. I definitely do not agree with wait until you're ready, because I don't think that that's necessarily ever going to happen. You know, wait till you have this or this house or this much money, or wait till your job is here or there. Children, you know, you make it work when it happens. I'm not saying to have them younger, though, either.
Okay.
But if someone came to me at 40 and said, you know, I'm thinking of having a kid, I would say if this is something you really want and you feel like you can give yourself to it, then absolutely. I would definitely encourage them to do it, because the process is like no other process in your life, and it's only yours. And I think that being a father has changed my life, and it's made me a better person, and I highly recommend it to everyone.
So I was going to ask, what one thought would you like to leave our listeners with, but actually you both have left thoughts. Do you have any final thoughts, Nicholas?
I just want to say I think it's wonderful as well that what you do to give information to parents, because I think, like I said, we're in Los Angeles where there are other parents around my age, and there's definitely a community, so to speak, but I don't feel like that's everywhere. And I think that what you're doing is wonderful, because it offers people out there that maybe don't have that support system or that community to say, oh, okay, they're like me. Okay, I'm a 45-year-old mother with a 2-year-old, or I'm a 48-year-old dad with a 1-year-old or a newborn or whatever. And I think that's amazing. And I think the more that people communicate and talk and get it out there, the easier it will be for everybody.
And Len?
I want to remind people that not to take all of this too seriously. I think you need to laugh. I think you need to just remember that you may be older, but that makes you more wily coyote, and that there's a lot of fun involved, and keep looking at the bright side of it.
We've been talking with two men who I adore, who represent the spectrum of the changing nature of fatherhood over 40. Len Philpoo's book, Primetime Dads, 45 Reasons to Embrace Midlife Fatherhood, is available on Amazon and through bookstores everywhere. You can follow him on Huffington Post and on Twitter, Midlife Dad. Nicholas can be found at familyvalued@icloud.com. This show originally aired on WESU Middletown 88.1 FM on your dial. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sema Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.